Welcome to Island Baptist Church. Joe's lesson today is in John chapter 3, titled, You Must Be Born Again.
I want to invite you all to open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John. John chapter 3 is where we're at today. We'll read the first 21 verses. If you've got a physical Bible or if you have your digital device, whichever it may be, once you are there, I want to invite you to please stand in reverence to our Lord as we read His Word together this morning. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21 is what we are reading. I've got the New Living Translation, so if you have something different, that is quite all right. And the Word of the Lord reads as such. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, what do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to the spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Verse 9. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Verse 16, for this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Verse 18, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. The word of the Lord. Let us pray together this morning. Father, we come before you this morning thanking you for another great day that you have given us. Thanking you for the beginning of Beach Reach and all the students that came to church this morning because they came to hear your word, but more than anything else, they came because they wanted a blessing from you as they go out and do your work this week. So, Father, we want to just be all united this week in prayer for the young men and women who are here. And of course, those that will be coming next week and the following. And of course, we want to pray for all the leaders that are here. And also, we want to pray for all the people who will be attending South Padre Island spring breaks over the week. We pray that their hearts be open and receptive to the message that will be shared by our BSMers this week as they share the gospel message with them, and that they come to an understanding that the only way to heaven, that their only hope is in Jesus Christ. And Father, again, we just pray that we continue to live out your gospel message, that people see you through us, and that people who have never opened up your Bible, your word, see your word in us through our actions. And again, Father, as always, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You guys may be seated. You know, in today's world, we have so many people logging on to their social media accounts to follow their favorite athletes, their favorite actors, their favorite influencers, their favorite musicians. Why? Because they want to see what it is that they are doing on a daily basis. They want to see how they are living their lives. They want to see what they are eating, what they are wearing, where they are shopping, where they're working out, what kind of workouts they're performing. And sadly, they're also listening to the words that they are saying. And they're gobbling up, they're eating up these words that these people online are sharing and receiving them as gospel truth. People today want to be close to all the glamour and the fame that these people live, and in hopes that it's going to rub off on them. And so many people are attempting to emulate them, hoping that they too will become social media influencers. And in Jesus' case, as we read this morning, many were following him. Many were attracted because of his miracles. Sadly, too many of them didn't want anything beyond that. They did not want to go deeper. All they were looking for was a miracle. And in this story, we read of this one man who did want to know more, who did want to go deeper. Nicodemus was an influencer himself of the time. He was a Jewish religious leader. He was a Pharisee. He was a biblical scholar. He understood the laws. He knew what he had been taught. But the one thing that he did not have a full understanding of, the one thing he did not have a full grasp of, was the gospel message, was the message of salvation. And John tells us that Nicodemus, a religious leader, had influence. He was an educated man, but still did not know what it took to get to heaven. We also read that he went out seeking Jesus one night. Now, we're not sure as to why. There's a lot of people that say a lot of different things as to why he went out to seek Jesus at night. Maybe, just maybe, he was afraid of being seen with Jesus in public, being afraid of what other people might think, because not everybody was accepting of Jesus at the time. We got to remember that. Maybe he just couldn't connect with Jesus during the day because so many people were trying to get to Jesus. Jesus was being swarmed by a lot of people who were wanting a miracle. And just maybe he couldn't get to Jesus during the day. But for whatever reason, he went out and sought Jesus this one night. But he knows exactly who Jesus is, because his first words out of his mouth when he sees Jesus, when he comes up to Jesus, is Rabbi. He acknowledges Jesus for who he is. And he continues by saying, "We all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." And then, of course, the conversation continues. And Jesus tells him, "You need to be born again. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again." And this word that John uses for born again is the Greek word anathen, which means again or born from above. Some of y'all, as you were reading your Bibles, your translation may have said that, may have said you must be born from above. A lot of ours say born again. And this really gets us to an understanding that this is only a God thing. There is nothing that we can do to be born again. There is nothing that we have in us that allows us this new birth. It is something that God allows to happen in our lives. And the results of this new birth are a new life, an eternal one. Born again, born from above, whatever your translation says, that is what we need to do to be able to enter the kingdom of God. A friend of mine posted this on Facebook the other day. He said, "What's up with people posting or saying that they love Jesus, and then they post up an immoral video? Or they're posting Bible verses about forgiving and loving your neighbors, but then they're chastising people publicly online," and the list went on and on and on. You know, Michael Jr., a Christian comedian, would call these people so-so Christians. In one of his comic scenes, he also talks about the over Christians. And he says, we all have that friend that's an over Christian. You may be working out with them or out on a walk with them on a hot day, and you might say something like, I'm thirsty. And his response would be something like, yeah, thirsty for the Lord, that's right. Or you could be with that person and you would say that, I can't find my keys. I seem to have lost my keys. You need to find the keys to the kingdom is what you need to find. Sorry, but I don't remember driving a kingdom. I remember driving a Honda. But, you know, I just never knew that there were levels to Christianity. I have always believed that you are either a follower of Jesus or you're not a follower of Jesus. Now, I know that there's growth steps and all, but again, I just love hearing other people's jokes about different people and how people act when they are followers of Jesus. Jesus sensed in Nicodemus that Nicodemus wanted to know more. He sensed that Nicodemus had this thirst, had this hunger, had this void, had this emptiness in him. And that Nicodemus himself knew that he was doing his best to obey what he thought God wanted. But yet Nicodemus had this emptiness, this void in him, this tugging of his heartstrings that led him to go and seek Jesus, even if it was at night, even if it was at the displeasure of his peers, just to talk to Jesus about the kingdom of God. And Jesus puts him immediately on the right track. He says something like this, and this is just my paraphrase. Nicodemus, quit wasting your time with all that other stuff. You need to understand that I am here. I am the one that the Bible talks about. And the only way that you are going to get to the kingdom of God is not how you think you're going to get to the kingdom of God. You must be born again. And this concept of being born again is not one of a physical birth, as Nicodemus alludes to, but rather a spiritual one. It's a change of heart. It's a heart transplant. It's a change of lifestyle, a lifestyle that no longer desires the things of this world, a lifestyle that no longer desires to pursue the things of this world, but rather desires to pursue the things of God, desires to follow Jesus. It also is a lifestyle that desires to be in the Word of God each and every day. A hunger to know more, a hunger to want to do more, a hunger to have a deeper and more intimate relationship with God. And Nicodemus says, what do you mean? How is it that an old man is going to be able to enter his mother's womb and be born again? Now, I'm not 100% certain of what Nicodemus's response meant here. Is it that he did not truly understand, or did he have a different understanding of what Jesus is trying to say here? Now remember, he's a Jewish teacher, he's a Pharisee, he's a scholar. And so we also need to remember, as I've mentioned before, that they don't have the New Testament. He doesn't have these scriptures that we're reading right now. They're living it out. It's not till another 30, 40 years that these things are finally put on paper and saved for us to have today. But what he did know were the Old Testament scriptures. And in the Old Testament scriptures, he knew that there was this coming Messiah. He knew that there was this thing that was going to cleanse us of our sins. He knew of this new covenant that was coming. But had he been able to connect the dots? Had he been able to put all of this together? I don't think he did, but he knew something was up. But I believe that Nicodemus, with what he knew, believed he knew how to get to heaven. And Jesus came to tell him, sorry, Charlie, you're wrong. You need to be born again. Jesus says that you need to be born again through the water and the Spirit, and that the wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear the sound, but you don't know where it's coming from, or you don't know where it's going. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus seems to be saying, Nicodemus, the Spirit is working in you. That's why you're out here seeking me. That's why you want to talk to me. But you're not able to see the kingdom of God in all its power unless you are born again. And Jesus says it twice. And in these two statements, it seems that it just seems to go over Nicodemus' head. And Jesus continues by saying, you need to believe in the Son of Man, because everyone who believes will have eternal life. You know, this conversation is a very powerful conversation that John includes here at the beginning of John chapter 3, because it outlines for us the gospel message. And it clearly tells us that the gospel message is above any head knowledge that we have. We could have all the scriptures up here in our head. But guess what? The devil knows the scriptures too. We can have all the scriptures up here in our head, and we could do a lot of great things, and we could think that we're going to heaven. But none of that's going to get us to heaven, because it's about believing. It's about trusting. It's about surrendering to Jesus Christ. You see, this gift that God gives us of salvation gives us this hope. It gives us this joy that is not found anywhere else. And Nicodemus, being the prominent leader that he is, being the Pharisee that he is, being the scholar that he is, still did not have a clear understanding about what Jesus is saying. He seeks out Jesus for answers. He seeks out Jesus for a deeper understanding of what it truly means to get to the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, like so many of us, have been exposed to the gospel message, but we go out seeking more answers from Jesus. And once we get them, we need to understand that this Christian life doesn't promise us it's going to be easy. But what it does promise us is that we will have joy, we will have hope, regardless of whatever we are facing in this world, whether we have to face another pandemic, or if we're facing some catastrophic health issues, or maybe even death. But what we do know and what we are guaranteed is our eternity with God. Knowing that once our life here on earth is over, we step into eternity. We will be forever with God. We are able to grasp and live out this concept because of God's love for us. God so loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us and change our lives forever once we accept him, once we surrender to him. Our lives are completely changed at this point. Our lives and our hearts have been shifted to following God. We are no longer going to perish. We are no longer going to be judged for our sins. There is, for so many of us, a defining moment of when we turn our lives over to Jesus. There is a time that is marked forever on our hearts and in our minds, because we know when it was, where we were, and the time that it was when we turned over our lives to Jesus. Many of you here today probably know that. And for so many other people, it may not be that way. For so many other people, you may have been born in a Christian home. You may have grown up in church, and you may not know anything else but to follow Jesus. Whichever way it was for you, God bless you. And I'm so glad that you are a follower of Jesus. As I mentioned earlier, last week, the Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, God Loves You tour began in Brownsville, and it was going to go all the way up the river through El Paso, where it's going to be today, and then cut westward, and I think it's got two stops in Arizona, and then it'll finish up in New Mexico. But last week, it started in Brownsville, McAllen, Laredo, Eagle Pass, and Del Rio. And as you guys know, and if you don't know, you'll know now, I work for the Baptist General Convention of Texas, Texas Baptist. I serve the South Texas region of Texas as their representative, working with pastors and church leaders all across South Texas. And this tour made five stops in the area of which I serve. And so the first two stops, Saturday and Sunday in Brownsville, McAllen, which are in my backyard because I live here in the valley, I wasn't able to attend because of my commitments here with you guys at Island Baptist Church. I was here preaching. But I did meet up with them in Laredo, Eagle Pass, and Del Rio this week. And a lot of you guys were there last Saturday, right? And a lot of you guys raised your hand, and you got a chance to work with some of the different components that they have, whether you be in the prayer group, whether you be in the decision group, whether you be in the counseling group, or whatever it is, the area that they would have you to serve. And I, as I mentioned, was in Laredo, Eagle Pass, and Del Rio this past week with them, and I got a chance to serve in a few different capacities as well. And I want to share with you one story of a family that I got to sit down and talk to. They brought to me a young lady and her mother. And when I mean young lady, I mean she was in her 20s. And so I sit and I begin to talk to them. And they start sharing with me that this is the first time that they turned their hearts, their lives over to Jesus. But I also noticed that they were attending a church. And so I kind of began to kind of ask them where they were at in their walk with Jesus. Well, because of the denomination, the faith group that they were following, they understood that they were getting to heaven by following rituals, by following practices, by doing this and doing that. So for them, that day was a day of salvation. And so they were all given a book which contained the Gospel of John. And in that book, it had a reading plan. It had some commentary notes. It had some other stuff to help them understand God's word a little deeper. It also had a little bit of an interactive activity, per se, where it had questions to be answered as you read along. And it was really neat. You know, so I walked them through that and talked to them a little bit more. And I prayed with them because I was so glad that they turned their life over to Jesus. Because it's all about believing in Jesus. And so I finally asked them, I said, just out of curiosity, how did you find out about this event? And the little girl, again, 20-something year old, I call her little girl because I'm old enough to be probably her, more, I'm older than her parents probably. But anyways, she showed me that little boot flyer. A lot of you guys are familiar with that little boot flyer that had the dates and locations, all that. And so I was so glad that those flyers made their way to people that needed this bison. Because this young lady who brought her mother, like Nicodemus, knew about Jesus and had an understanding about heaven. But it wasn't until they heard the gospel message, until they heard the truth of what Jesus' word says, about what God's word says about getting to heaven, that they truly understood. And like Nicodemus, there was a tugging at her heartstrings to find out more. And I thank God for the obedience of people to go out and seek the truth. You see, like Nicodemus and like this little girl, so many people believe that they're going to heaven. But the Bible is clear about who gets to go to heaven. It tells us that only belief in Jesus Christ will get you into heaven. And sadly, too many people believe that that word belief means just thinking about it. But that's not what it's about. The word belief here in the Bible means a lot more than that. It means to trust. It means to surrender your life to Jesus. You know, a lot of you guys have probably heard about the old pastor John Wesley. He was preaching throughout England, preaching throughout Wales and Scotland, and he preached being born again is the only way to heaven. And he preached that message till he was blue in the face, until he went to the grave. And one guy came and asked him, Pastor John, why are you always preaching about being born again? Pastor John says, because that's what Jesus tells us. That if you're going to get to heaven, you must be born again. It's a complete trust. It's a complete surrender. And we get to what I have to believe is the most popular, the most quoted, the most recognized verse in all the world, John 3:16. And can we say it all together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that verse. But I think I love 17 more. So let me continue to read what Jesus says in that same phrase. He says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You see, God's purpose was to send his Son to die for our sins so that we could all attain salvation. I truly believe that it is God's will that no one perish. I believe that. I believe that's why he sent his Son, so that no one would perish, that whosoever, that means everybody that comes, that doesn't exclude anybody. But unfortunately, that's not the case. Sadly, not everyone is going to go to heaven. I was telling the college group today that they're going to encounter a lot of people who think that they're going to go to heaven because they say they believe. Or they're going to say something like, how is or how can it be that a loving God would send someone to hell? Guess what? God doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose where we're going to spend eternity. We're given a choice to make. We can either accept Jesus or deny Jesus. And sadly, there are going to be so many who refuse this free gift that God has to offer. Let's wrap it up with these last few verses. I'll read them 18 through 21. There's no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right will come to the light so that others can see that they are doing what God wants. I want to reread those last few verses, but from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message Bible. Anyone who trusts in him, that's Jesus, is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him, Jesus again, has long been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when they were introduced to Jesus. This is the crisis that we are all in. Godlight streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God-light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality, welcomes God-light so that the work that they do can be seen for the God work that it is. Jesus' beautiful response in this conversation, in this interaction with Nicodemus, is exactly what Nicodemus needed to hear. And that response is exactly what we need to hear as well. I'm not sure what Nicodemus was expecting to hear, but he heard what he needed to hear. Jesus saying that I am God and I am from God and I come from God with a heavenly message. That unless you are born again, you cannot get into heaven. That the Son of Man will be lifted up, and if you believe in him, you will have eternal life. And that God the Father orchestrated all of this because he did not want anyone to perish. Again, I don't know what Nicodemus was coming out and what Nicodemus was expecting to hear. But I do know that he heard exactly what he needed to hear. He heard, Nicodemus, your triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is offering you this free gift. And this free gift is the only way to get to heaven. Believe it, and heaven is yours. This is the gospel message. This is the message that every human being needs to hear. This is the message that every human being needs to know. It is a story of our loving God that desperately loves you so much that he sent his only Son to die on the cross, and that if you believe in him, you will have eternal life. He is offering you a free gift. All you need to do is receive it, believe it, trust it, surrender to it. I know there's a lot of people watching online right now, and I just want to encourage you that if you are not for certain where your eternity lies, if you are not for certain that you believe this message that we are sharing today, call the church. There is somebody that will be willing to meet with you. Whether it be Pastor Greg, whether it be one of the deacons, whether it be one of the Sunday school teachers, one of the other many leaders that are in this church, they all know how to walk you through this, what we know as the plan of salvation. We want to encourage you to do that, but we also want to encourage you to get plugged in. If you are in the South Padre, Port Isabel surrounding area, we'd love to invite you and have you here. But we want to encourage you to take that first step and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. Father, so many people will be coming to the island this week saying that they believe this and they believe that, and that is their personal truth. And there really is no truth to that being a personal truth, because that really is just an opinion. But we know that your word is truth. And as your word says, that the only way to get to heaven is through belief in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as we leave today, let us leave with the understanding that this is the only way to get to heaven. And this is the message that we need to share with people who do not know it. But again, Father, we know that people are going to reject it. And if they reject it, we're just going to ask that we continue to reflect your love, as we read right now, that we want to be your light. And that if people run from it, that their sins be exposed so that they can understand that what they are doing is wrong and they need to turn away from those things and come to the light. And again, Father, just give us the boldness and the courage that we need to share the message of hope with this lost and dying world. Again, Father, we just ask that you be with us this week as we serve the BSMers. We know that it's going to be a long and exhausting week. But we know that we do this not because we want to attain heaven. We do this because we love you, and you have called us to do that and to serve in this capacity. And again, Father, we pray all things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, today is the first Sunday of the month, and as we do practice every first Sunday of the month here at Island Baptist Church, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And as you walked in, many of you guys received the elements. If you did not, would you please raise your hand? And we have one of our deacons, and we have an usher that will be going out to you guys, and we'll get you one. And keep your hand up until we get to you, and then once you get one, just go ahead and put it down so that we know everyone has received one. And as we know, we have a lot of visitors week in and week out here at Island Baptist Church. And if you are one of those and are wondering if this is a church that celebrates open communion, so we invite you that if you are of a like faith, we invite you to celebrate with us this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But I want to remind us what the Apostle Paul reminded the people before they take of the bread and of the cup. He said, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. So let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself." So before we come to the table, let's take a moment. Let's examine ourselves. Let us spend some time in the Lord. And if there's anything that is on our heart that we have not yet given up, let's give it to Him today. If there's something that we've been wrestling with, let us ask Him for discernment. Let us ask Him for guidance this morning so that we do come to the table this morning in a worthy manner. So let us pray together in silent first and then together this morning before we step up to the table this morning. So let us pray. Father, we come to you this morning knowing that we are broken, knowing that we are sinful, knowing that we are imperfect, but we serve a perfect God. And because of that, we want to be obedient to your word. And your word tells us that we need to celebrate this and to do this in remembrance of you until you send your son back. We know he is coming back. We don't know when. But until that day comes, we want to continue to be obedient to all that you have called us to do. We want to be obedient to sharing the gospel message. We want to be obedient to serving the community. We want to be obedient to celebrating the Lord's Supper. So, Father, whatever is burning on our hearts, we lay it at your feet. And we ask that you give us direction on how to handle these situations. And again, Father, as always, we ask that you forgive us of our trespasses and we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And we pray all things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptistchurch.org.